Hello and welcome. This is the Failing Forward podcast. I'm Rindi Gishina, and today we have Christabel Makoha, the Senior Director of Innovation at CARE USA. Christabel, please introduce yourself.
Thanks, Rindi. So as you said, my name is Christabel Makoha, and I lead the innovation team here at CARE USA. My background is in strategy and development work. I've been working in the last 10 years. My passion really lies in inclusive development, working with program teams, communities to design innovative solutions, especially innovative solutions for populations that tend to be underserved. So rural populations, women, youth, to name a few.
On this episode, we will focus on the failure behind innovation hubs based off an article that we both came across from ICTWorks titled "The Rise and Fall of Innovation Hubs in Development." Christabel, why is it important for us to talk about failure?
Yeah, I think a lot of people fear talking about failure, but it's a natural part of the learning process. I think what's challenging when you consider failure is either we get surprised that failure happens, and so we never plan for a mitigation plan, or we are under so much pressure, either from someone who's funding you or someone who's overseeing a project, that it becomes impossible to create room for failure. But I think you can't learn unless you're able to look backward and say, I should have done this differently. This could have gone in a different way. It's harder to learn that way. You can learn from successes, yes. But I think the most learning that happens through failure, when you're truly able to introspect and be honest with yourself and say, in this manner, if I had to do this again, I think I should have done 1, 2, 3 things differently. So you can't grow without talking about failure and almost doing like a post-mortem analysis to really understand what worked well, what didn't work so well, why did it not work so well. That helps you get ready for the next thing.
Profound. So why do you think innovation labs often fail?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting question that a lot of people have different ideas as to why they fail. So I'll just give my 2 cents around it. A couple of things come to mind. Number one is, I think our definition of innovation is really murky. And so because of that, it becomes impossible to know how would you truly measure innovation when it happens well. I think most people either assume innovation has to be the next new thing, or innovation has to be about technology, or innovation has to be something that no one else has thought of yet. And I think because of that, it becomes difficult to then, I mean, how many new ideas really are generated on a daily basis? Very little. But how many people on a day-to-day basis face a lot of challenges that they have to be creative around? That happens a lot more. So I think for me, number one reason why innovation labs fail is we don't know how to measure it because we haven't defined innovation correctly. I find a better definition of innovation being around simply leveraging creative problem-solving approaches to address an unmet need, whether that need is technology-based or it's about figuring out finance gap or how to deliver a project faster, better. You fill in the gap as to what the challenge is. But I think if at base, innovation is defined as leveraging creative problem-solving approaches, then now it gives you room to, yes, use fancier terminology such as design thinking, or just use your day-to-day strategic thinking to come up with new ideas. So number one, we've defined it in a very stringent manner that doesn't allow us to recognize when innovation is happening. And so we assume innovation fails. I think number two, it's sometimes difficult to find the right balance between do you do innovation in a standalone silo so that it can actually happen, or do you integrate innovation in programming? I think this is a tough one because there's arguments on both sides that doing it standalone gives it a better chance of actually someone paying attention to coming up with new ideas. However, what I often see is when it's too much standalone, it becomes difficult to move from ideation prototyping phase to be integrated into a regular program. And so you can come up with all the brilliant ideas, but if they're not integrated into programming, especially in the development sector, then they don't see the light of day. So number two is, I think we haven't necessarily been able to find the right balance between creating almost a sandbox for innovation and experimentation, and how that sandbox becomes integrated into regular programming to ensure seamless transition across both. So for me, that's number two. Then number three, I think ties a little bit to the first point I was making around our definition of innovation, and this is about how we measure innovation. I don't think we'll get it right. And I think sometimes people get fixated on running design sprints or running ideation workshops, etc. And that becomes a measure of innovation, that we've run X design sprints in the year. We've partnered with X social enterprises. Yeah, those things are important and they're part of the process of ideating and creating new knowledge. But that's not really the true measure. The true measure, at least in the development sector, should be about, have I solved the problem? And no matter how many design sprints I do, if I have not solved the problem in a manner that the program participant at the end of the day is able to use it, or our teams are able to adopt it into, let's say, their proposals, then it means that I have failed. So I think we don't focus on measuring the right things when we think about innovation. Lastly, the risk appetite of organizations around innovation is too low. And so what happens then is you're given a very short timeline, come up, set up, quote unquote, an innovation lab. And then in 6 months, if it's not showing promise, when you're being considered for the next cycle, fiscal cycle, it's not guaranteed that you're going to be funded. But you know, there's different types of innovations. There's the frugal innovations that happen day to day that you can easily measure. But the innovations that move the needle forward, especially on sticky problems, you need to be able to give time for those things to materialize. So what would happen in year one is probably the innovation team is, you know, being set up, trying to understand the organization, how they can truly make a difference. Halfway of year one is when maybe they're now starting to get into the groove of things, to understand the processes. You get to month 18, and that's probably when you can actually truly be impactful and add value. But by that time, then it starts to be assessed as you're not sort of doing well. So I think our risk appetite is too low around innovation, and that doesn't give innovation a chance to survive. So for me, those are the four things. One, our definition of innovation at best is murky, and I think then most people either become afraid of it. Number two, innovation, the balance between a standalone innovation unit versus an integrated unit, I don't think we have mastered that. Number three, our measure of innovation is wrong. It's not really focused on solving the problem. Sometimes it's focused on the processes. And then last but not least, I think our risk appetite is too low for innovation. And so we don't give it enough time and resources for it to truly take off.
Thank you. In your experience, what needs to change and how have you done this differently in your role?
Yeah, I think that in some ways they are the inverse of the reasons why they fail, right? If all of those things that we've just discussed change, I think they can move the needle. And I think that a few thoughts that come to mind. Number one is I think innovation needs to be structured. And by that, I mean, most people are familiar with this terminology, innovation around engine one versus engine two. So engine one being innovating within the context of regular programming, engine two being the breakthrough ideas that you come up with that change your business model, change your service offering. Structured innovation means that these two things actually really run like an engine. And so you're not doing one in absence of the other. And so you're not innovating breakthrough ideas in a silo and then hoping that somehow they will come back in and be integrated. They almost have to happen in tandem. And I think for that to happen in tandem, then the second point is we need to think through a decentralized model of innovation so that not one person or one team owns innovation. I think it's easier for the regular program teams, if I can call them that, to be the owners of innovating in engine one. You're spending most of your time delivering. You're able to identify moments and opportunities for actually truly innovating. I think it makes more sense for innovations around engine one to be owned by program teams. It then makes more sense to sort of have a bit more of a standalone sandbox for engine two, for those big questions that we haven't answered yet that are not part of our regular programming. We have not been funded for them yet. They're supposed to help us think through our 5-year or 10-year strategy. Then it makes sense to actually have sort of a protected sandbox, and that can then be owned by what you normally would call an innovation lab. So decentralization, I think, of innovation and figuring out ways in which ownership of thinking about new ways of doing things is not owned by one team, but rather spread out through the innovation. Last but not least, I think a bright balance between patience and identifying quick wins, right? Yes, you need patience to be able to prove that the innovation process works, but without the quick wins, then no one trusts you, as we talked earlier, right? And risk appetite is low. How do you start to tackle some of that? I think you need to identify what are some of the low-hanging fruits that exist to establish quick wins. But at the same time, for the bigger, stickier questions, being able to allow for patience. And that then comes back to then how would we measure innovation success? In year one, what are the things that would indicate that we're being successful versus year two? Not just a blanket. You need to have generated innovative ideas. And that's the blanket statement. So it doesn't matter whether I'm in month two or month 12. The measures need to be different depending on where you are at in the phase of development. Some of this we've tried to do at CARE, where we're working with program teams closely to balance between the engine one and engine two. So asking the program teams, what is the biggest thing you're struggling with right now as you're doing programming? And then taking that on as a problem statement for us to help them with. But at the same time, having conversations from a strategic point to say in 5 years' time, what is the question you will try to be answering and what should you be doing as CARE? And then we would take that on and almost tackle it on the side and come back to the teams and see how that can be integrated. And I think the last thing I would say is innovation is sort of seen as a process. And for me, innovation is more of a mindset. It's a commitment to say, there's always a way to do something better. The problems we are solving today are so sticky, and that we have what it takes to think differently, to do things differently, and to be, you know, frugal about it. Sort of push with frugal innovations, the innovation that happen on a day-to-day basis. They don't have to be the big things necessarily, but it boils down to, yes, there's processes, there's ways of getting to new ideas. But most importantly, number one thing is innovation is about the mindset as opposed to the processes.
Any parting shots?
Yes. I think that if we can step away from the definitions around innovation being the, I think the terminologies that exclude people who are actually innovating on a day-to-day basis, and perhaps push for a different definition of what does it mean to be innovative. Earlier on, I talked about innovation just being about creative problem-solving approaches. And so it doesn't matter which processes you use. It only matters that when you have a problem in front of you, you use whichever tools you have to be creative about getting to an idea. So thinking about the box, what is the one way I could solve problem X in a way that's never been done before? If I'm in the development sector, how would a private sector person approach this? If I'm in the urban area, how would a woman in the rural area solve for this problem? You see, when you start to impersonate that kind, you know, people who are different from you, in some ways it actually helps you think outside the box. So I'd say the parting shot for me is innovation is about creative problem solving and being able to step outside of our regular day-to-day, impersonating people who would be different from us and saying, how would they approach it? I think that's the easiest way to start to identify moments to be truly innovative.
Thank you very much, Christabel.
Thank you.
Time.
Thank you.